keep this frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Yes, ma'am.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
Yes, queen.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
The TGDNB culture is valid, critical, vital, and vibrant.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Welcome one, welcome all. Tis I, Madison Moffat, and no other. Unfortunately, I'm on my own, alone again, naturally. But anyway, still very happy because I'm in the studio doing what I love. Now, this particular episode of Queering the R on 3CR, 855 AM on the radio dial, also available via digital audio band and online through 3cr.org.au/streaming. We'll have a number of things. It's like a magazine show, I like to call it. You know, you sort of flick through a mag and, you know, you get various different types of articles, don't you? Well, this is very similar. We're going to revisit an interview that was done on the Thursday morning show, the Thursday breakfast show. About 2 weeks ago, because it featured an interview with Trans Feminists United. And of course, last weekend, last Sunday, we featured the anti-femicide rally that was organised and conducted by Trans Feminists Unite. So, what we're going to do today in part is go through some very insightful or very revealing answers to some very insightful questions that were asked by Priya to two of the organisers of Trans Feminists United. And I thought I wanted to play these during the rally itself. And you know what it's like. Often there is, you know, brief periods of time. If you've got a 2 minute, if you've got something that only goes for 2 minutes, you'll be able to play it in between people organising the next speaker. But I'd have to say that the rally organisers last week were so organised, so well organised, didn't have the opportunity to play these little clips from Priya's interview. So I thought, not to waste, let's listen to them today, and in part because I think that they actually thrive all by themselves as a little piece about trans organizing against the growing hate that we are experiencing, unfortunately, in the community. So I think within that broader context, there's much that we can learn by listening to each other. So, in that spirit, I shall play that. Now, first up, though, I'm going to play an interview that I did back in the Trans Book Festival. But this is actually a little different. It's about Brisbane queer community, predominantly. And a bit about community radio as well. And the reason being is that the interviewee is Ray from 4ZZZ, who was also there by virtue of the fact that they are a writer. And indeed, that this all does form part of their self-introduction that forms the beginning of the interview. So I won't continue to ramble. I shall instead allow the nature of said interview to become clear as it is played. A one and a two and a three.
You're with 3CR. It's Madison Moffat, pronouns she, her.
I spotted someone from another community radio station, and they're a queer broadcaster, and I was about to lower my javelin, and I thought, no, we could actually be friends, who knows, let's try it. So, with that in mind, I'm going to ask said person to introduce themselves with names, pronouns, and a general justification for who they are. I don't normally put it that way, but the javelin's only, you know, it's on a 45 degree tilt.
Potential friend, justify yourself. I'm Ray White. I use they, them pronouns, and I am usually living in Mianjin on Nyagar and Turrbal country. Yeah, justification. God, I am a poet. I've written a couple of poetry collections. I've written a kid's book. I'm on 4ZZZ is one of the things that I do.
Yes.
Fellow broadcaster, I'm on Transmission on 4ZZZ, one of the co-hosts, along with, we say a host of transes and genders.
Yes.
I think is the phrasing.
I've been thinking of using the term milieu.
Beautiful.
The milieu. The trans creator milieu.
Oh,
and the queering the air milieu. baguette, milieu. You can have it too. We can share it.
I was like, we could. I was like, and I do feel like the now we've made the connection, doing more things together is a fabulous idea.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, let's scare the straights. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That'll definitely
like,
happen.
That's community radio.
It's like, oh, they're becoming interstate now. They're organising in an
interstate. They're making connections. I mean, they already think we all know each other anyway.
Oh, it's hilarious, isn't it? By the way, did you get your dividend check for the trans agenda? You know how we're all making money out of the transgender industry? Did you get your dividend check this month?
Yes, it was a huge no.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just like...
I nearly got jealous for a second there. It's like, hang on a minute, I was joking.
It's like when people assume when you come out as like non-binary or whatever, and like you immediately get suddenly like a nose piercing and coloured hair and Crocs or something, which all of which I have.
Yeah.
But it's not on purpose. Like,
no.
We're not all taking notes and swapping notes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm too chicken to do the body modification thing. So, but I did do the earrings, little ear studs.
That's good. But, yeah.
But, you know, nose and that sort of thing. It's not, you know, it's for plenty for others. But do you remember Floyd, the chef, the British flair, Keith Floyd?
Oh, no,
in the 1980s?
Oh, no, I notoriously am not in touch with a lot of things.
Yeah, no, fair
enough. The canon.
So, yeah, I'm a culture vulture, so, you know.
Oh, I'm almost the exact opposite, yeah. I'm out here for folding, looking at birds and stuff. It's
disgusting,
yeah.
Hilarious.
But, yes, was this someone who had a lot of piercings?
Oh, no. Yes. I have a VHS of Keith Floyd, TV chef. Far Flung Floyd is what it was called, because he went all over the world, you know. He kept encountering all these ingredients that were, at least from a British perspective, exotic. And he would explain what they are to the viewer and then go, but not for me.
I love that. But not for me.
But he said it so often. It's like, dude, why are you on this trip?
unless it's like something super duper meaty, I'd probably have a go. Like, if I was on the trip.
So, what do you reckon? A nice little clunky segue. Clunk, clunk. What do you think about this festival?
Honestly, it's incredible. It's incredible to see so many trans people in one room, and it's such an honour to be here and to be not only one of the artists featured, but also to share space with everyone. It's a beautiful experience. Like, I grew up, I guess, without the internet, and I couldn't find the words for who I was, and I felt quite lost. And my family is wonderful and beautifully supportive, but it's really hard when you don't have that language to know who you are. Kind of almost full circle to come here and be so surrounded by people that are like me. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Young me is absolutely chuffed. Current me, you know, is absolutely chuffed.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It's affirming, I reckon.
Affirming.
I've had a similar situation, you know, it's like decade after decade, oh my God, I'm never going to find my people. And then all of a sudden they just, it's like they did spring up out of the ground.
Mm. And I feel like in the current climate of incredible transphobia that we're experiencing, I feel like I meet more trans people every day.
Yes.
And I see more of us visibly in the community back home in Mianjin and also here, because we're like, no, we do exist and we are going to continue to exist. The more that fascist anti-trans rhetoric springs up, the more we are out here just being ourselves. I was going to say being resilient. No, just actually doing our thing, being in life, hanging out, just being ourselves and being trans. As a writer who predominantly works from home and goes to mostly trans events and my other job is cat sitting, I don't talk to a lot of cis people. However, I am encountering more of us every single day and it's phenomenal.
Yeah. It almost feels normative being trans here, you know?
Yeah. And it feels like I don't have to explain myself from the ground up.
Oh, that's the other thing, you know? And I know that quite a lot of people here who are speakers is freeing for them here. Not every third sentence needs to be an explainer.
You don't need to necessarily, start to explain yourself. You can talk about your work within the context of trans literature and the greater context of writing in general. And I can't believe it's like, basically we're halfway through the festival and I'm utterly livid about it. Excuse me, funders, could we get this a week-long festival? You know, the festival's I think it's Emerging Writers Festival or something that goes for weeks.
Melbourne Writers Festival? I think that's around 2 weeks or something.
Everyone needs to be paid more immediately. The wonderful people who, like Eli and everyone that runs Trans Book Festival, but also
there's a lot of volunteers here.
And there's a lot of volunteers. Yeah. And that's the thing is it'd be incredible to have this as something that's a longer experience, because I feel like I have only just touched the surface of what this festival is and could be in this one day. And I want more. I want tomorrow and I want this festival to be something that happens for many more days every year. I want more of this.
Yeah. Brisbane.
Brisbane. Yeah.
I lived there for 10 years.
Yeah.
I actually found it exceedingly parochial, but to be clear, I was there from about 1990 to 2000, so it might have been quite different. You, on the other hand, shared with me that you love the place.
Love it. I do love seeing people doing yesterday the Fanzi flash mob and things like that. I've seen an increase in anti-trans graffiti. However, I'm looking out for it because I'm one of the people tearing it down. But so are a lot of other people. And there's a lot of people that come out to protests. And especially when early last year we had the ban on gender affirming care for young people in the public system, there was so many people protesting that. And there is an ongoing support for trans people, especially trans young people.
Yeah.
And we've recently had Gender Health Australia open a clinic. There's so much positive stuff happening. And on a day-to-day basis, apart from some slurs yelled at you on the street, it's generally pretty decent. As a place to live.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the birds that are there. We have such incredible bird life and nature. I've lived there my whole life. So
for me, you've got the Gallery of Modern Art.
Oh my goodness, we have
just
Goma.
Great.
Yes.
And you know, I actually absolutely loved when I was living there, the Queensland State Library. They used to have free films.
They do, and a lot of the Brisbane City Council libraries have free films. We have
Don't get that much here.
I was like, I don't work there, but they have a lot of queer events as well. There's a lot of queer and trans open mics there, and poetry events, queer film screenings, and queer book clubs. I mean, every single gay thing you can do there. Yeah, once again, I never would have expected to be a part of it as a kid, and it makes me really, really happy. The weather here is lovely, but I much prefer Queensland weather.
Direct opposite. The heat and humidity kills me. What would you say is the key cultural function for a festival of this kind?
I mean, I think a festival like this just organized and has a venue in and of itself is both important and takes up space and is an achievement. The fact that there is also a vast amount of artists and volunteers and an audience and a bookseller and all this just incredible stuff is breathtaking.
Yeah. So part of the power of it is the network.
Definitely the networking and definitely the feeling of community and understanding that you're taking up space with people who are like you, forge those community connections and friendships. no matter how much our incredible cis straight allies do, a lot of the community that we need is our community. And like a space like this, we need that.
Help cisgendered people can provide.
Love it. Yeah.
But the message, this is my focus, the message must be us.
Yes. Yeah. Because that's our framing and our truth and our voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, this does, it provides a platform for our voices that we wouldn't normally necessarily see in traditional festivals. No shade to other festivals, but often because there is such a diverse population in so-called Australia, there's a lot of authors that they've got to pick and choose from. And sometimes there's a smattering of trans authors and trans creatives, whereas here, everyone's trans. It's wild. Yeah.
Like we actually do just barely, but nonetheless do have the economies of scale here with regards to, we're waiting for our dividend check, but you know, the trans creative industry.
Yes.
We actually have that economy of scale, amazingly enough.
Live in a capitalist society, so much of it is like about getting funding and about, you know, like, paying everyone that's involved or trying to pay everyone that's involved. And it's so incredibly difficult. And I think both things that can be true at once, we're incredibly appreciative of funding trans creatives, and but also the nurturing component of it.
Yes.
Like, this is a nurturing space.
Yes.
At the end of the day, like, no amount of money is going to compare with people that I'm going to be able to talk to and the relationships that I'm going to forge and the experience that I'm going to have here.
Like, well, I think it's a multiplier.
Yeah.
And I've noticed this with various events and ideas an organisation like Transgender Victoria might provide some seed funding to, right? Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the community almost exponentially multiplies that.
Yes.
And what you get in return culturally is just significantly more than what was put in terms of actual dollars.
Yeah. It'd be wonderful to see a festival like this, even a, you know, queer-focused festival, but like also a trans-focused festival, or like very specifically trans-focused events even, you know, where I am in Brisbane, like, it'd be fantastic. And we have beautiful groups like Trans Join the Engine, and like groups that are really cultivating like trans community, you know, within the engine. So it is, it's beautiful to see. And like, I think that's, you know, more of this is what we need.
Yeah. And on that note, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
And may a thousand blossoms bloom from our devious future co-work.
Heck yeah.
And then we never spoke again. Well, you know, we've both been busy. I certainly have been, and I'm sure Ray has been. What a little ray of sunshine. See what I did then? Yes. Thank you very much. But just a wonderful writer, wonderful trans advocate, and overall queer presenter. And lo and behold, I mean, on both Queering the Air and on Trans Creator Radio, I've been sort of highlighting occasionally a publication called Trans Rag, which is Meanjin based. And what do you know? The editor of Trans Rag happened to be Ray's partner. So we hope at some point to arrange an interview with them about their experiences in running, you know, an online blog/zine as part of the Meanjin, also known as Brisbane, queer community and trans community. So, as I said, let a thousand blossoms bloom with between myself and my new friend. It's about time I found one. Anyway, the femicide rally. What a rally that was last week. I'd felt so privileged to be able to just sit back and relax as the organisers of the rally sorted out for me everything that I needed and more, and everything I hoped for and more, in terms of broadcasting radical voices and radical messages. And it's just such an important topic, and I don't believe that it has been spoken about in such a public way as Trans Feminists United organised last Sunday. So as indicated at the beginning of the show, what I will now want to do is play some excerpts from an interview that was conducted by Priya as part of the Thursday breakfast show. Plug, 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 plug. Great segment of the current affairs, a playlist that we do have here at 3CR. Priya is a godsend, I think, in terms of being able to ask informed questions. And indeed, certainly does not let us down here with the questions that are asked of these organisers from Trans Feminists United around their modus operandi, not just with regards to this rally. And if that was the case, I probably would have chosen not to play this stuff this week, because that was last week, right? But this is actually gives some real insights as to what these people are doing in terms of general communal organising with regards to radical thought and radical challenges to the patriarchy in general as trans feminists. What I'll also do is I'll play the two songs that I thought, we might also have time for. I don't know what I was thinking. We're never going to have time for that as well. The first one will be Knifey by Amel and the Sniffers. And that's a great song which basically portrays the need for a woman to have to weapon themselves, equip themselves with a weapon in order to feel safe to walk at night, which I think, is both true, rings true, and is relevant. It also Feels Blind by Bikini Kill I will play in between these clips as well. Another, this time, classic Riot Girl track from Bikini Kill that does address violence against women and the struggle against it. So, without further ado, here is Priya's, excerpts of Priya's interview with Trans Feminists United.
We are joined in studio by Spooky and Leliana, who are both representatives of the organizing committee of Trans Feminists Unite. And Spooky's going to be speaking with us about the group's inception and organizing work. Good morning, Spooky.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to ask, first of all, about Trans Feminists Unite. Why and how did you form? And what's the significance of forming this group at this political moment?
We saw a bit of a crisis in the local trans scene with myself and a couple other of the organizers, where we just felt like there was a bit of hurt in the community. There was a level of isolation that we couldn't quite address. It seems like whenever there is oppression from the police or otherwise agitators, we just stumble in every which direction. I think it allowed us to be pushed around quite a bit. So we decided from there something needed to happen regarding this. Myself and the other organizers, we're big on community defense. We tend to marshal rallies around the city and keep people safe at the Palestine rallies and so on and so forth. So using these tools that we had and these organization skills that we had already fostered, it's time to really band together and potentially teach this on a wider level to the trans scene here, and also to invite other people in the broader community, connect the dots between what really crushes us to what crushes women in general, frankly. We see a connection between what it is that trans people face and struggle with and what it is that women all over the world struggle and face. I think that really was the call that switched us on and went, you know what, we need to do something about this.
Yeah, I really appreciate that decision to start coming together on the basis of recognizing both that shared oppression, but really acute experiences of isolation, and the importance of bringing the practices of solidarity that you've been learning and engaging around various other struggles into something specific by and for you to bring those things together. I'm really keen to hear more about your political education model, because I know that you run reading groups. Can you talk about the kind of movement that you're building?
The movement that we're building is very like socialist from below in nature. What this means basically is that we have a membership. We build them up and we teach them. We build them to become leaders of their own right. There's only three of us that are currently steering and leading this in the committee of Transfeminists Unite. So it really begs the question of what are we capable of doing when there's just three leaders of us? You know, what are we able to achieve if there's five of us, 10 of us, 15 of us? The sky's the limit, essentially. So what our reading groups do and how we put that broadly into our praxis, teach our membership to take control. There's these lessons that have been learned in history, and there's no point trying to figure everything out on our own when we've got these books that we can rely on and learn these very valuable skills from. We can see in history what has worked and what hasn't, and we can use that to educate ourselves and move forward on that.
I'm also really proud of where we've gotten so far. So between myself, Spooky, and Ivy, who are all on the organizing committee, we've only had one snap rally. This is our first big rally, and we've already got nearly 100 people signing up on members. So we've grown really radically just in the last 2 months. And it just shows the deep need that we're trying to address here in the community, trying to get people organized. And a lot of the education is also deeply focused on getting people to rise up to the level of getting people together and work together. And I think, you know, we obviously have a lot to teach if 100 people are trying to sign up before we have a lot to show for it.
Yeah, something about that really makes me think about the way that diversity, equity, inclusion, like liberal identity politics, the way that that is functioned within the queer and trans communities. Like as a non-binary person myself, I feel much more connected to movements and spaces that bring different struggles together and recognize those axes of oppression rather than being involved in a more aestheticized or pleasure-based reading. I mean, pleasure is very important, but only focusing on that at the expense of attending to the real work that we have to do, the political work that we have to do to situate ourselves and put ourselves in relation with others' struggles is, I think, where it's at.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey there, you're listening to Queering the Air.
Coming to you live and direct on 855 AM. Or live streaming, man. That's cool. On 3cr.org.au/streaming. Or you can hear it on demand, man. That's just wild. Or not. It's all cool, man. It's all good.
Kefirs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white kefir to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to kefirs.org.au, that's kefirs.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the Apartheid Free Zone movement.
I+ Pride Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label, or no label at all. We organise community events and advocate for better policies and services. I+ Pride runs discussion groups which offer a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. I+ Pride is especially keen to hear from multi-gender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to I+ Pride are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at biplusprideVic.org.au, email info@biplusprideVic.org.au, or find us on Facebook or Instagram.
A 3CR supporter.
I'm bisexual.
I wanted to ask about the focus on femicide for this rally. Why is it important to your group to wrest this issue away from biologically essentialist, Eurocentric and classist paradigms?
What we believe is femicide is the end product of capitalism, of patriarchy. We see that femicide really is the product of a woman just stepping out of the boxes. I think women are very much more than the domestic labor that they produce. We're more than our bodies. If a woman dares step out of line in that sense, we see terrible, terrible things. There is quite a long history of women having their lives taken away from them. And this usually just comes back down to male chauvinism. It comes down to a lust for power and a lust for domination.
The last month has been a particularly terrible time. We've seen, I think, over a dozen murders. And, you know, when the population of trans people is around 1 to 3% of the population, I mean, that's only 50,000 people in a city of 5 million. We've seen about 12 high-profile murders, including the really, really tragic killing of Juniper Blessing. So the consequences of femicide are really tragic. When we have kids in our community like Juniper, who was only 19, lose their lives, it seems someone has to, like, at least remember their names and say it.
Definitely. And I think getting femicide away from a cisgendered frame is so, so important, because I think in the public imaginary, there's this easy separation of trans people's concerns and then women's concerns. And it's like, obviously, that's not how that works. And also, by failing to recognize, especially trans women and girls, trans femmes, as being specifically targeted by a femicidal system, by failing to recognize that, we're saying these lives don't matter.
I think trans women, an open and shut case, a really clear example of this in motion. You take someone who presumably, seemingly has all the privilege in the world of being male or whatever it is people view trans women like myself as. Against all that presumed privilege, you decide to indulge in femininity, change your body, change your mind in a way that is regressive to what a lot of people would think and presume. A lot of people see it as a threat. You know, the system we live in, it views it as a threat.
Yeah, this is the sort of language that TERFs use to justify shutting trans women out of any conversations around femicide. And it is so important that you're challenging this. I wanted to ask as well about the political importance of publicly commemorating and collectively grieving those that we've lost to patriarchal violence.
We're probably going to talk a lot about Juniper Blessing just because of the really cruel and brutal nature of it. I've been doing a lot of research looking through past rallies to remember and the annual Trans Day of Remembrance. Looking through that history, you just see so often that there's this particular violence that gets reserved for trans people that is very specifically about disfigurement of the body. Juniper was stabbed over 40 times. For the people in our community who know our history, you know, that goes all the way back to the late 90s after the first Trans Day of Remembrance around the killing of Rita Hester. So there's a very long history of how violence against trans women is often very much about disabling and disfiguring people. The more you look at our history, you understand there's a really close tie between the prevalence of disability and the prevalence of transphobia. It's as if, you know, people see us as some kind of freak or crazy person who wants to injure ourselves, and then they see that we don't do it, and so they take it upon themselves to push it onto us. And whether that's individual murderers or even just like institutions of healthcare, which often dismiss our problems and leave us on the wayside.
to enact that violence on the body to push you back to what society says is the right order of things, which is a level of dehumanization that is really important for you to call out, and including this process of eulogizing as well. It is really, really important work. And I mean, it makes me think tangentially of the work of Amy McQuire, Black Justice Journalism, on the notion of presencing, not just remembering people who have been disappeared or murdered through the way that the news reports on them, but through keeping who they are alive in the way that we talk about them. Thank you for this really important work. Is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap up?
Transfeminist Unite is not prescriptive of any requirement to join to be trans. Anyone can join, anyone can be involved in the work, because we think it's very important that as a feminist project that it's open to all. I would also recommend that people look at the website Trans Lives Matter, which has been run for over 2 decades. The website's been sold, it's been banned and all of these sorts of things, and it's run by one of the women who was at the first Trans Day of Remembrance. So if people want to learn more about the history of death in our communities and see some of the names, they can also go there.
Thank you so much, Spooky and Liliana. I really appreciate you making time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So is it any wonder that the rally was so well organized and you know, full of such informed voices? Because, you know, it just emanates from the two representatives there of the Transfeminist United committee. Steering committee that was there, interviewed by Priya. And, you know, as always, Priya's proving themselves a godsend to all those who wish to be informed about our community. Such insightful questioning. So I thought, you know, onto something a little lighter. Again, at the Trans Book Festival, I ran into Teague, and Teague is a photographer, and they were there to capture various aspects visually of the Trans Book Festival. But others might know Teague as one of the photographers who also typically does the Midsummer March and does photography for that. Such a lovely, lovely person. And I thought it might be interesting to get their perspective on queer photography and, you know, photographing the queer community. And indeed, it was interesting. And, you know, that's very much down to, again, Teague being an informed person and a rather entertaining one. Let's hear from Teague.
You're with Madison Moffat, 3CR, and I am with Teague. Teague introduced themselves to me, and they said, I'm Teague Lee. And I said, Teague Lee. But no, it's Teague. And how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's great.
You've been going around pointing this lens at people and pressing a button and therefore capturing their soul. What say you?
Yeah, I did a great big lens that nobody's very comfortable with. But it's my job and I love it.
Yeah, no, yeah. Fantastic. Fortunately, there's no emus here. Have you ever pointed a camera at an emu?
No.
It's not pretty.
No, I would not like to.
No.
Scare me.
They see there's one big eye, and what emus like to do when they're defending themselves is they attack the eye. Yeah. So my father used to enjoy getting emus, you know, behind cages, of course, to come right up.
I'm sure a lot of humans would be like that as well with the camera.
Yeah, particularly if they had a very long neck that they could thrash forward.
Yes.
And a beak, yes.
Yes, that's right.
But be that as it may, I'm quite sure others are quite happy to be photographed.
Yeah, not so much authors. Authors are very, actually, quite quiet, I've found.
Yes, yeah.
And internal. So it takes a little to coax them out.
Yes.
And not get them nervous in front of the lens.
How funny. That's like very parallel to my experience, where it would be like I just spoke to someone and they've just written this lovely poetry.
Yeah.
And I said, look, we should get you on the show. They literally said, oh, I don't talk much.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. That's how they express.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So what do you see your mission as? Because I'm quite sure you've got to have sufficient determination that you could phrase it in a mission style in order to perform this role.
Capturing the joy and essence of a human being.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Much of that here.
Oh, absolutely. There are so many different talents and experiences at the Trans Book Fest.
Yes.
That my job is quite easy.
Yes. Well, I was going to ask firstly what the challenges are, but let's talk about the ease. Let's lean into that. I'll try to change what I'm like as an interviewer just for a few seconds for you, Teague. Let's lean into that joy. What's it like then capturing it? How's it feel for you as the capturer?
I mean, it sparks joy for me.
Yeah.
Whenever I get the shot, you always know as a photographer when you've got the shot, when you've got, you know, a certain expression on a person's face or their hand gestures or something like that.
So it's not in post, it's at the time.
It's at the time.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And then in post, going through them all and going, yeah, actually that felt right at the time, like right deep in your soul.
Oh, did that come with experience or is that more intuition?
A little bit of both.
Yeah, okay.
I've got 12 years experience, so in doing event photography. I do landscapes, and landscapes I love because they don't talk back. And they don't expect anything from you. Whereas human beings, and there's that challenge that you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, without talking about specific people, although, you know, we'll do that offline, because I love a good bit of goss. What would you say generally is expected from someone you photograph here, or at least what you perceive that to be?
Getting their good side.
Getting their good side.
Everybody's got a good side.
They're so vain. They probably think this song is about them.
That's right. And also the challenge is making the audience feel comfortable around me.
Oh, yes.
So the people up on the stage, they're expecting me to point the lens at them, but audience members aren't in the spotlight.
Yes.
So to get them comfortable, and I'll go up to them and say, that's a really good outfit, or I really like that badge, or make something personal about them.
Yes.
So that they're...
Explain to them why you're wanting to capture them.
Exactly, and who I am. Yeah. To begin with.
Oh, yes. my name's Teague, and I'm a creepy guy that goes around photographing people. Would you like to be part of it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's a very, very the same when you're carrying a mic.
Yeah. These photos will never see the light of day.
yes, I'll just keep them in my basement. Yeah. Okay, so what do you expect?
I'm very hard on myself.
Right.
So I accept for perfection.
Ah, yes.
Always.
So the expectation is internalised.
Exactly. I have autism, so the expectation that I'm perfect 100% of the time is always there for me. But if I can make somebody smile whilst they're having this great big huge lens pointed at them and feel comfortable, then I know I've done a good job.
Wonderful. Do you see yourself as a queer photographer?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Do you describe yourself as a queer photographer?
Yeah, queer trans photographer.
Okay, so what does that mean? There's an ambiguity there. It could mean that you're trans and you photograph people, or it could mean something much more. What does that mean to you, that phrase?
Well, I am trans and I do photograph people, but I also love photographing...
Tick.
I also love photographing the trans and gender diverse communities and the queer communities. And seeing all facets of our rainbow lives.
Yes. So part of the definition is your subject matter.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. But I interrupted you.
It's all encompassing. So it's not only my identity, but it's everybody else's identity that I capture and spread forth the good word of who we are.
Wow. So, you know, that interaction is communal in nature, but also communal in intent.
Yes, very much so.
Oh, that's wonderful. And to a certain extent, you know, we've sort of semi-answered this question, but on the other hand, it would have made a nice segue if I hadn't ruined it. How does queer photography, or let's say trans specifically photography, push the transgender diverse and non-binary culture forward?
It's all about getting your face and your identity and your personality out in public.
Right.
The more we put our trans selves out there, the more acceptance there's going to be and a more awareness.
Yes.
We are pushing the boundaries by being out there.
Yes.
Like, not every trans person, gender diverse person is out and open.
Yes.
You know, it's not safe for them, but for those of us who can be, it's empowering.
I've got to be sensitive the same way. Polite refusals are part of the game, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
and right. It must be for you as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Consent is sexy.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Wonderful. What would you add? Because you know this subject area much better than me. What would you think I've missed?
Just when you see the camera pointed at you, don't run away. I'm very gentle. I'm very loving.
Yeah.
And I mean the best of intentions.
And people do?
Oh, yeah. I always have those people who are like, no photos. That's fine. as I said, consent is sexy.
Yeah.
But all I'm trying to do is show your best side, and if I've come up to you, it's because I've seen your best side.
I hear you talk about that, and I remember the scene in The Godfather. Do you know the one I'm referring to?
No.
A photographer's going around, probably on behalf of, in this case, of the Secret Service or something, mm-hmm. and photographing the cars that are outside of Vito Corleone's daughter's wedding, right? Uh-huh. And Sonny, one of the ways in which in the story his violent nature is first exposed, grabs the camera, smashes it, and throws, I can see the photographer wincing already, folks, throws a certain amount of money at him, which probably compensated, and just walks off. Yeah. That hasn't happened yet.
No, nobody has smashed my camera, thankfully, because it's an extension of me, so I would be devastated.
Yes. Plus, we don't have that much money. We don't have that sort of... normally, don't have that sort of cash lying around within
the trans community.
No. Teague, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
Just lovely. Lovely guy. I've been as part of a team of archivers, an archive team of archival material digitizing efforts. I've been going through quite a few of the queer-related reel-to-reel tapes and cassette tapes that form part of the 3CR archive in an effort to digitize them, but also in an effort to prepare for the 50th anniversary, the 50th birthday of 3CR. And I think that, you know, it's important to highlight that 3CR has always been a platform that has elevated queer voices of one kind or another. One of the things that struck me is the way in which 3CR was clearly part of the vanguard of trying to spread awareness of the HIV and AIDS epidemic, which was being largely ignored or vilified by the mainstream press. I'm going to play for you a recording. It's mostly not an extract. It's almost exactly the way that it features on the reel-to-reel tape. And I've just sort of deleted a few little blank bits. It seems to have been something that was put together for Open House, a show on 3CR at the time, in commemoration for what was called at the time World AIDS Day. Let's listen.
World AIDS Day, Sunday, December the 1st, 11 a.m. till noon on 3CR.
Guests will include representatives of people living with AIDS, the Health Services Union, the Save Fairford Hospital Committee, and the Victorian AIDS Council.
Open House, Sunday, December the 1st, on the future of Fairfield Hospital. Talkback opens 11:30 a.m. Welcome. It's just gone 11 a.m. on Radio 3CR. I'm Jocelyn Bennett and this is Open House. It's 3 months now since the September release of the Inquiry into Infectious Diseases Services in Victoria report, otherwise known as the McDonald Sorrell report. 3 months is the waiting time for a person who must endure if he or she can confirm a negative or positive HIV/AIDS result.
VCR's World AIDS Day special.
We will be focusing on the needs of people living with HIV/AIDS, those most at risk of HIV infection, discrimination affecting them, and the political context of HIV education, treatment and care in Victoria.
Join us on World AIDS Day, Sunday, December the 1st, 11 a.m. till 4 p.m. 3CR, 8:55 a.m.
Rally to save Fairfield Hospital.
Many hospitals want as little to do with HIV and AIDS as possible.
Fairfield is the only hospital in Victoria which guarantees high quality treatment without prejudice.
People living with AIDS need Fairfield Hospital. Unite with people living with AIDS.
Rally at the City Square, December 1st, 12 noon.
Save Fairfield. Stand together. Act up.
Activated by the AIDS Coalition to unleash power.
You're tuned to 3CR Melbourne and 31 Shepparton on World AIDS Day.
Yeah, 3ON, welcome. I think this is the first opportunity I've had to speak to such a wide-ranging audience, and it's nice to have some country people listening to 3CR, and let's hope it's reciprocal. Well, the World AIDS Day rally is just about to begin at the City Square, and we'll be taking you through till 4 o'clock here at 3CR. You'll be experiencing live crosses to the rally intermittently. The next one will be in 5 or 10 minutes' time. But we have also a series of interviews recorded on the topic of AIDS, specifically targeted to youth and AIDS. That's our theme for the next few hours. And this week, Stephen Jones spoke to Nick Crofts and began by asking the question, can he outline the recent history of trends on the spread of HIV positive AIDS diagnosis in Victoria? And this is what Nick Crofts had to say about that. He's coming up very shortly.
You're tuned to 3CR Melbourne and 31 Shepparton on World AIDS Day.
Did you think I was doing something else? Sorry.
What's happened with HIV infection in Victoria and in Australia generally is that there was a fairly large-scale and silent epidemic of HIV infection that affected the homosexual male community in the mid-1980s, early and mid-1980s. And that involved before the risks of transmission were really fully understood, and that and before the agent of AIDS, the human immunodeficiency virus, was fully identified, involved fairly rapid spread amongst sexually active homosexual men. And since 1985 or 1986, the evidence that we have suggests that the rate of transmission in any social group in Victoria has been relatively low.
We're with you right through till 4 o'clock on this World AIDS Day. And it's across to the rally right now. And Stephen Thompson, welcome.
Thanks, Jocelyn.
How's it going down there?
Well, at a conservative estimate, there's about 500 people down here. The square is packed. There's people from all walks of life. We've got the Fairfield ambulance here. Excuse the rowdy people going past. I think that's part of the Labour guys contingent who are down here as well. They've got a Fairfield hospital bus down here with a whole lot of patients in beds and wheelchairs and things. There's, as I just said, a whole lot of people from the leather community here. There's like a lot of older people here as well, supporting their younger people. And there's just a really good feeling here. We've got some speakers on at the moment, and they're talking about the various things that have happened in the last few weeks with regards to what Maureen Lister has been saying about the various reports that have come out, and talking about how all of her statements are being quite contradictory.
You're tuned into 3CR's World AIDS.
Yeah, so there we are. This has been Queer in the Air on 3CR, 855 AM, also available via digital audio band and online through 3cr.org.au/streaming. And up next is Salaam Radio Show. And, you know, what can I say about Salaam Radio Show? Love, love, love.
All of the dreams that I had were suddenly falling down.